I wanted to end up with communion today together, and I just wanted to talk about the power of that in our lives, and not just to do it because it's a religious exercise that we do, but really engage in what it really means. And I want to encourage you all today that if you have not put a prayer request or a vision or a dream on one of these cards, put it up on that pallet over there for others to pray over and to stand in agreement with you. I want to encourage you to do that. Without a dream, people perish, and you need to be looking for something in your future. Believe in God for something in your future. As couples, as husbands and wives, you need to plan for some great things and to do some wonderful things together. It'll keep you strong together. It'll keep you looking forward to tomorrow. You need to begin that. You need to pray together. I don't know why this is coming so strong to me today, but somebody really needs to hear this. Maybe you'll send me a note later and say thank you, just so I know I wasn't out on a limb all on my own here today, okay? Believe God for something in your life. Believe Him. Get the dream. Bring it before the Lord. And, you know, I've lived long enough to know that I'll start out with a dream, something that I think that He's put on my heart. I'm just excited about it and fired up about it. And then as I go down the pathway in life, I find out that as time changes, my dream doesn't necessarily change, but it gets altered. It gets rearranged. It gets moved around a little bit. You know my hero, Pastor Tommy Barnett, just one of the greatest men of God in my life. And he's been pastor for years and years. One of his sons now, Pastor Luke, now leads the church, beautiful church in Phoenix, Arizona. And his other son, Matthew, leads the Angelus Temple and the Los Angeles Dream Center in Los Angeles. And these young men are just doing a wonderful work for the Lord. And Matthew, 8-10 months ago, somebody approached him and encouraged him to do what is called the World Marathon Challenge, which is 7 marathons, 25, 26 miles each, in 7 days, in 7 continents. And they said, we'll pay for it, and we'll also donate to the Dream Center $100,000 if you'll do it. I'm thinking, somebody comes to me and says that, I'm not a runner, but I'm going to learn how to real fast. So if God works in any of you to do that, but he also paid the registration fee for them. To register was $38,000 because they had to charter a jet. So he's planning, he's practicing, he's running, he's doing everything he can. He started to run, you know, a few miles a day, and then more and more till he's running like 150 miles a week or two something. But now he's going to run 25, 26 miles a day, 7 days in a row. They started in Antarctica, 35 degrees below zero, with 40-mile-an-hour winds facing him. Then he goes to Chile. And then they go to Miami. And while he's in Miami, he goes from 35 degrees below zero to now 88 degrees. And while he's running, his knee goes out on him. I'm going to show this little video clip next week. This so inspired me. He goes from Miami to Morocco. And while he's there, his knee is just deteriorating. Now, he's got somebody with him who is a world marathon runner from the past, Ryan Hall, who's helping him. He's taking a video of him, and now he's shuffling. The pain and the agony is on his face. Like, when I looked at it, I wept. I looked at him like a father would look at their son, like I'd look at my boys or some of your kids, and watch him grueling in this pain as he's shuffling. He said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm doing this for other people. I'm not going to quit. And he said a few things. He said, I've had to adjust my plan that I thought I was going to do. He goes on to Madrid, Spain, and then he goes to Dubai, and he's finishing today in Australia. I haven't heard anything, but he went from 4 hours and 5 minutes, and now he's, the limit they give you is 8 hours, and he's just under it, but he's shuffling the whole way. Why am I telling you all this? Because sometimes when you have a dream and a vision, you have to adjust it for things that happen in life. You'll get hurt. You'll get disappointed. Things will come. You won't even understand what it is. But in all those things, see, God is still working out a great purpose for your life. And as much as the pain that he's going through and the agony, God is working something. He's going to use that in some of you this next Sunday when I show that little video clip of him running and the excruciating pain on his face. Because sometimes when we run up against difficulty, we run up against a challenge, we run up against a pain of some kind, we just give up. Well, God must not be in that, because if he was, I've heard so many people say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore because it's just not flowing. Do you want to know? Only dead fish flow downstream. You got to rise up sometime. You got to become strong when you're weak. The Bible says, then in my weakness, he is strong inside of me. God will cause you to dig deeper and to go further than you ever anticipated. And he'll bring something out of you that you never even thought was there. And only God can do that. Listen to me today. Only God can do that. You run up against a challenge, a difficulty, you don't just quit. Man, I've learned that in my own personal life. I do things in the gym now that I couldn't do 25 years ago. And if somebody would have said, you're going to do this, I would have said, that's for somebody else. That's not me. But God gives you the strength that you can go deeper and you can go further and you can dig deeper than you ever thought. I remember coming home from Indonesia this last summer. It's a 35-hour trip. 35 hours flying in an airplane and layovers and everything. Get all the way into Chicago. Your flight is canceled. It's Thursday night. Your flight is canceled. You can get on a later flight. 3 minutes, I'm getting ready to get on a plane. I'm thinking of Patty. I'm going to get home to my wife. I'm going to see my kids, my grandkids. 3 minutes, flight canceled. What? I go, okay, when are we going? Sir, the reality of it is there's another flight going out tomorrow, but you're not going to go home until Saturday night. This is Thursday night. I've been traveling for now. It's over 40 hours since I left Bali, Indonesia. And I've got my daughter-in-law is having a birthday party on Friday night, and she's saying, you're not going to be home till Saturday. Okay. Now, I haven't slept. There's only one thing I can do is rent a car and start driving at 11 o'clock at night. I've already seen the sun go up and down on an airplane in the last 40 hours, and now I'm going to drive. I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to find me a Starbucks, number one, and a lot of Jesus, and let's go. And somebody said to me, how did you do that? And I learned something about my life at that moment, that when you have to, you can dig deeper than you ever thought you needed to. You're stronger than what you think you are today. You can believe God to go further and be greater than you ever anticipated. You don't have to slide into the same pathway as maybe your parents did. And I think about this all the time. You know, I shared a week ago about that string of events around my own father and the pathway, the lifestyle, the home that we lived in growing up. And there's some that are here that have gone through the same thing. And I think about that. You don't have to copy what, I don't have to be what my dad was. And I wish he was here sitting on the front row so I could look at him in the eye and tell him, Dad, I love you anyways. And God's got a plan, even in his older age. I wish he was here. He's not. He's been gone a long time now. But there's another dad that I'm talking to today. There's another man, there's another woman that I'm talking to today. And I want to tell you, you don't have to stop, you don't have to give up. Just because some hardship has come your way, just because you've been hurt, just because something didn't work out the way you thought it could or should, or wood. You don't have to stop. And God's, he's built something deep inside of you that you have to look unto Jesus further than looking at your own self, further than looking at your own wounds, further than looking at your own failures. You have to look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. For the joy that was set before Jesus caused him to be able to endure the cross. And you and I don't have to endure a cross, but there's some things that you're going to go through. There's some things that you're going to face. There's some hardships you're going to challenge, you're going to be challenged in. You don't have to stop there. You can go, you can rise up beyond that. And today, as we share the table of the Lord together, this is a moment in our lives today that we come to God. We come to Him and we believe God to put our lives back together. Because the body and the blood of Jesus that has been given and has been shed is stronger than anything that we could ever have to deal with in our own personal lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord that which was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and he said, take heed, this is my body. It's broken for you. Do this and remember me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. Remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and they're sick. And many are sleeping, but if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. I love that. I love how he talks about that. I love how he gives us the purpose that when we partake of the table of the Lord, a personal revival is to take place. There's a lot of people that are they're praying, well, Lord, let revival come in the land. You know where it starts? In you personally. You don't pray for others until it's working inside of you. And I'm not talking about running around in a circle and doing handstands and acting crazy. I'm talking about your life being transformed before him. That as we remember the Lord and the sacrifices that he brings and he has brought to us, that we allow him to usher in this change in our lives, a revival. And what communion is not just some ritual that we are trying to earn something for God or attain or achieve salvation. It's not a religious duty that we go through. Communion should never be viewed as a routine, but it should be viewed as we're coming together to meet him and to let him change and refocus our lives. Just keep on playing for me, Rufus. I love you back there. And he says something so powerful to a great church. If he was here, I believe he'd say it to us. He says this to the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. He says, these are the words of him, Jesus, who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the golden lampstands. He says, I know your deeds. He said, I know you work hard and you got great perseverance. I know all that, he said. I think that would be, what a great testimony that would be to have. You know that Jesus knows what is behind every motive of every person's heart that is here today. I used to go to church when I first got saved. I didn't go for the Lord. I didn't go for the pastor. I went for the girl I was chasing. And God knew that. He knew that motive. He didn't judge me that. But if I still went today because of that reason, I'd be jacked up a little bit. He knows my deeds. He knows why I'm here today. He knows why, if I'm here to speak to you, to bring his word to you, to bring his heart, or he knows that if I'm just here just to be seen or noticed, or, you know, for somebody to say, oh, that was great, Pastor. He knows my motive. He knows the deeds of my heart. He even knows how hard I've worked. He knows that. He knows that about you. He knows that about every singer that was up here today. He knows that about the musicians, if they're just coming here just for another purpose other than to bring glory and honor to him. He knows it if the people that are in the sound booth today are just doing it because they have to. He knows their deeds. And he says, I know you can't even, he takes it up a level. He says, I know you're spiritual enough, you can't even tolerate wicked people. You're so spiritual that you can discern who's an apostle and who is not. But the problem with the whole thing, he says, and you've even gone through hardships, you've grown weary, but you've endured. But everything, as good as all of that is, he said, I want you to know one thing beyond any of that. And this is when we come to the table and we're reminded about it today. He says, you've forsaken the love that you first had. You've left your first love. I was thinking about that this week when I read that. And every time I read that, God just brings this other vision to me. It reminds me of when I first met the Lord and that love that I had for him in that little Christian Missionary Alliance church. And let me tell you, again, I'm just being vulnerable with you. I wasn't going for the right reasons. And I'm not judging you here today if you're not going for the right reasons. But if you're here 5 years later and you're still going for the wrong reasons that you came today for, something's wrong, because he changes you and I from glory to glory. We should be growing in him. I'm not the same person that I was then. I'm not the same guy that I was back then. And I'll never forget when that evangelist began to speak and something began to change in my life and my heart was just arrested and tears began to come down my face. And I didn't know what was going on, but I felt that touch from God like I'd never felt before. I'd been inebriated, I'd been high, I'd been happy, I'd been sad, I'd had all kinds of feelings, but I never felt that. And it was a love for God that came into my heart. And everything that I do in life now, everything, if I forget that, what good is it? Where's the value in it? I can wear the nicest clothes or drive the nicest car or live in the nicest house. I can have all of that. But if I leave the love that changed and transformed my life, what have I gained in this world? And that's a revival that takes into my heart. Not some extraneous thing that goes on. That's not the music becoming louder or we clapping more, somebody running around. That's not a revival. That may be an expression of something that's going on in the life. But I'm going to tell you something. When you connect with the first love that transformed and changed your life and you live like that every single day, you will be a revival walking wherever you go. You can't handle. You've got to tell somebody about Jesus. You will look at people in a whole different way. And a little side note on that. When I get into a big crowd, whether it's in an airport or a mall, and I'm looking at a sea of people, I'm not looking about, well, I hope I can be the first one in this line, or how are we going to get out of here? Where's the best parking spot? I'm looking at eternity. And I'm wondering, who's going to tell these people about Jesus? Are they going to see it in me today? Or am I going to just blend in with everybody else and just act like everybody else and just go about my way like everybody else? Am I going to leave here today and just act like everything else? Well, whew, I'm out of there. Man, that preacher, he was a little crazy today. I'm glad we're beyond that. Come on, let's go to Tim Hortons and get our sandwich and our coffee, and maybe this will leave us after a while. But real revival stays in your heart. You can't get away from it. You'll walk and see people. You'll look into their eyes. And they'll know you're looking right into them. Something will transpire. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. But a life is being changed. I want those who are going to share the table, I want you to come. This is a moment to look inside, to examine yourselves. Go ahead and begin to hand the cup and the bread out. When you receive it, I want you to hold it. If you're here today and there's something off in your life, when you receive the elements, I want you to hold them. Close your eyes. And ask God to give you that. So, Lord, I want to know you. Maybe you're here today, you've never experienced Jesus. You've never had that encounter with him. You can do that right where you're at. You just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life. I don't want to partake of this today in an unworthy manner. I want to be wide open for him. I want to remember that love. He said, if that's you today, he said, consider how far you've gone. He said, and then repent and do the things you once did long ago. He said, if you don't, I'll remove the lampstand. I'll take the light out of your life. I want you to pause a moment today. We love him because he first loved us. Let me just sow one more thought into you while you're preparing your heart to receive this personal revival. Jesus says in Matthew 5, I want everybody to listen to me. Beautiful Beatitudes in Matthew 5. He was saying, you heard this, but I say. This is a great dialogue for us in the 21st century church. You could hear a lot of things, but what did he say? And this is what he begins here. He said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But you know what Jesus said? He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother, you'll be liable to judgment. Now, you're not going to get around that today. Well, I just don't like them. They did me wrong. They've talked about me. They hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. Jesus said, I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, you'll be liable to judgment. And he equates this to the same judgment that a murderer has to face. He goes on, he says, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever even says you're a fool will be liable to the hell of fire. And he says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift and go make it right. First be reconciled, and then offer your gift. You know what the truth of it is? There's a lot of gifted and talented people in the kingdom of God, but they're full of anger and hurt. And God says, I'm not interested in your talent. I'm interested in your heart. He said, come to me. This communion is a time for you to look back at the cross. The psalmist says this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Can you do that this morning, just for a moment, just before we partake together? Lord, point out anything in me that's offensive to you. My son Garrett says this when he prays, God, if there's anything in me that you hate, take it out of me. The psalmist says, point it out and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Psalm 139. Can I tell you that today communion is a moment for you to let God break down some barriers in your life. Let go of some things that you're harboring in your heart. Let go of some things that you know that are unpleasing to God. Let go of the grudges in your heart. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Don't keep those inside of you. Allow the love of God to erase the pain of your past, the hurts, the failures. And look up to Him. Let's take the bread together this morning. He says, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the power that He gave over death, hell, and the grave. He conquered it. He conquered death in your life. He conquered the effects of the enemy in your life. No evil shall come near your dwelling place. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, the Bible says that in the children of Israel, they were instructed to put blood over the doorpost of their house and to cook a lamb inside of their house as part of the Passover. And the evil, the death angel, when he came to their house, he would pass over it because of the blood. When you and I today partake of the body, the Lamb of God, He heals us. He strengthens us. There will be healing that will be taking place in this place today when we partake together. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. The blessing of the Lord will be upon you to go deeper and to be stronger in the face of adversity, in the face of calamity, in the face of failure, in the face of wanting to give up, throw in the towel, walk away. He'll give you strength. You can do this. He took bread, blessed it, He broke it. He said, this is my body given for you. Take it, eat it. Every one of you, let's eat. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for power. In the same manner He took the cup, He said, this is my blood shed, poured out. Remember what He has done. Thank you, Lord. We apply it. Just lift it up over the lintel of your life today. We apply it, Lord. We thank you for shedding your blood. We believe you, God, for great and mighty things. We believe you for that revival in our own personal lives today. So often as you drink it, remember Him. Let's partake of the cup together today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. Some prayer people, just come down to the altar today. Say thank you today for your power and your presence. I want to say thank you for the ability that you have given us that we can move forward. And Lord, for those who maybe have been stuck, I pray that you will help them to go the distance today, God. For families that are in the midst of confusion and going just through that pain of change, I pray that you bring life and hope to them. We love you. We trust you today, God. I declare blessing and favor, the goodness of God over each and every life that is here today. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. I love you.